Hi, everyone. This is Dr. Cheryl Stellman, and it's so great to welcome you to What Women Must Know. Thank you for joining me today. And I have another empowering show to allow you to make truly informed decisions so you really find the path and the choices that work for you. And that is what this show is all about. If you have not had a chance to visit my website, whatwomenmustknow.com, please do so. I have some special reports waiting for you, and even this radio show gets sent to you on a weekly basis, so you are sure to listen to all of the great interviews and great conversations that I have. We have a really special show today. Before I get there, I just want to take a moment and share with all of you listening that I am facilitating a trip to Costa Rica at a very special resort called Rhythmia. It actually is a life advancement center. It's a luxury resort, but the purpose isn't just about luxury. The purpose is about experiencing a spiritual and healing transformation. This center is focusing on the use of some very special plant medicines. This is the only medically licensed plant medicine center in the world, so there are actual medical doctors there who will be assessing people and supporting people. Many of you may know that I actually journeyed to Peru last year. I had an amazing time. It is truly a magical country. And the purpose of that trip was to open myself to the power and the healing from many of the plant medicines that have been used traditionally in Peru for literally thousands of years as a way of making a greater connection to our true self. And that truly was an amazing experience. I was about to go back to Peru, but I discovered this amazing center in Costa Rica that offers not only the guidance of plant medicines with traditionally trained shamans and guides, but has incorporated some other fantastic support for healing, because in this six-night, seven-day experience that we will be doing, in addition to the experience of the plant medicines, which I want to talk about in a minute, but they also are including three very special types of hydrotherapy or colonics, three massages. They have a live blood cell analysis for each of the participants. They have an aura reading technology that you get to see your aura before and the changes that happen after. There are daily classes with yoga. There is daily meditation. There are volcanic mud baths that you have access to, and organic food, as well as, if you choose to, courses that are about personal transformation and learning how to have a successful business. So it's a pretty amazing place. It's it's a mile, actually, a mile from the beach, northwest Costa Rica. And the center really focuses around providing an environment to explore and heal oneself. The medicine that I experienced and we will be doing at this retreat in February 13th actually, is a Peruvian plant from the Amazon called ayahuasca. Some of you may have heard of it. And it is the ultimate transformative medicine for our mental, emotional, physical, and even spiritual bodies. It works from the inside out on your physical body. It helps to detoxify. It facilitates profound healing, as what occurred in my group last February. And it supports our mental self by just opening up and accessing more mental resilience and toughness. Emotionally, it is being studied extensively right now to support people in healing from emotional traumas. And spiritually, it really creates amazing connections to yourself. And my own experiences were very profound, very mystical, and they are with me to this very day. So it's been a wonderful journey, and I decided I'm going to take another group and experience the healing that is waiting for for them through this journey, through this experience. So anyway, I wanted you to be aware of it. Maybe check it out, learn more about the power of plant medicines, and learn more about Rythmia. The website to go to if you want to know more about the program is at rythmia.com/Selman. And also contact me at drselman@whatwomenmustknow.com, and I'll fill you in on more of the details. It's an incredible program at an incredible price that's really allowing each of the participants to heal, cleanse, detoxify, transform in a beautiful environment over 7 days. So check it out. It may be the next step on your journey, and I'd love to have you join me and the group that will be going with me. So exciting things ahead for 2017. And we have an exciting show today. Today we're going to be talking with the producer of the documentary, Vaxxed. We're going to be exploring the story behind the not just the documentary, but this whole issue that's gaining so much notoriety in the United States and actually around the world. So to help us understand and to appreciate what's going on, my guest today is Del Bigtree, who is an Emmy Award-winning producer, and he was on the daytime talk show The Doctors for 6 years, with a background both as a filmmaker and an investigative medical journalist. He is best known for combining visually impactful imagery, raw emotional interviews, and unbiased investigative research into stories that push the envelope of daytime television. When Del began investigating the story of the CDC whistleblower and the fraud perpetrated by the CDC, he soon realized that he had stumbled upon a story of corruption and deception beyond any he had ever seen. Further investigation into the wrongful destruction of Andrew Wakefield's career, orchestrated by Big Pharma and the UK Department of Health, inspired him to focus all of his attention on what he believes to be the most crucial documentary of the year. Del is proud to be working side by side with Andrew Wakefield, one of the most important minds of our time, to create a documentary that will not only alert Americans to the outright destruction of their civil liberties, but will lead the charge to demand the formation of a genuine, independent research body conducting legitimate science to ensure that all vaccines are truly safe. So this is an important topic. I'm sure it's one of great interest to all of you listening, and it is my great pleasure to welcome Del Bigtree to the show today. Welcome, Del.
Thank you, Dr. Selman. It's a pleasure to be here.
Well, I know you're so busy, and I'm so appreciative that you've made some time to be with us today. You know, this is a topic that is very near and dear to me. I have interviewed Dr. Andrew Wakefield once on my show, replayed his show, and have met him in person. I just have such respect for the message and the mission that you are on, because it's like David and Goliath at times, isn't it?
Yeah, it really is. We're living in a time where the pharmaceutical industry now is gaining so much ground and so much power, not only in this country, but around the world, over our health agencies, the WHO and the CDC, and over all of our universities that are teaching health and medicine. It's getting to the point where no one is allowed to question the pharmaceutical industry at all, and so no one is holding their feet to the fire. They are buying politicians now at an alarming amount of money, and we're really in a very, very dangerous position right now, where people, you know, the beauty of Vax is everyone that sees it wakes up to this truth that we've been lied to, and that we continue to be lied to. And that's not, you know, I was a medical journalist on a medical talk show for 6 years. I didn't leave that show because I don't like medicine. There's great things in medicine, but the only way we make sure we're getting the best medicine is that the science is always evolving and that there's real testing and studying going on, and none of that is happening in the world of vaccines. Vaccines have just moved in, like they're in a totally different category than drugs, so they're not being tested like every other drug we take, yet it's something we're injecting right into our babies. We've never tested giving multiple vaccines at one time, which happens every time a parent visits with their child. We've never tested vaccines in pregnant women, and now they're giving 2, 3, 4 different vaccines to women while they're pregnant, when only 15 years ago, the opposite was said. We can never give a vaccine to a pregnant woman because we're dangerous to the developing fetus. And without any testing or studying, they've just changed their mind on that and started injecting pregnant mothers. And I think we're really watching this singular tunnel-visioned focus on health through pharmaceutical agents constantly from cradle to grave, being injected with vaccines on the very first day of life, constantly injected, then needing other drugs and things, to get through our education, to deal with our emotions. We're being put on a conveyor belt now, and we're in a place where they're trying to mandate all of these things so that we have no choice in the matter. And I just heard, you're talking about your trip down to Costa Rica. I mean, imagine if we're banned from our own health aspects, if we're not allowed to eat organic food, that we just have to eat GMO food because our government's decided that's the best way to go. That's what's happening with medicine. We cannot, I can't believe in the United States of America, we're allowing laws to be passed that says the government owns our babies. And ultimately, right behind that are going to be mandating laws saying the government owns our bodies against our will. They can inject us with whatever they want, whenever they want, however they want. I mean, whether you believe in vaccines or not, how could you ever give a government that much control? I mean, I feel like no one's ever read a history book. We see where this type of corruption, governments can be corrupted. And especially when there's that corporate influence of government, it's prime and ready for corruption. And what our film Vax shows is that corruption is taking place at an alarming, dangerous level. Our story is about a whistleblower from the Centers for Disease Control named Dr. William Thompson, who came forward in the end of 2014 and said that the CDC has lied to the world. They did the MMR autism study, that's the measles, mumps, rubella vaccine, looking at can be causally linked to autism. Specifically in this study, the question was, is the younger you receive this vaccine make you more likely to develop autism? And they found exactly that it did, that there was an increased rate of autism amongst all healthy children. What the study showed and their data showed in their original study was that all healthy children of every race that are perfectly healthy for the first year of life, developing normally, walking, talking, hitting all their milestones, if they receive the MMR vaccine between 12 and 18 months, and that is the CDC schedule, they were up to 7 times more likely to develop autism than had the vaccine been delivered after they were 3 years old. And when they discovered that, what did they do? They spent 3 years behind closed doors on a study that was supposed to take 6 months, trying to manipulate and massage that effect out of the study, going as far as kicking half of the subjects on the study out of the study just to get the numbers they want so that they could come out and say the MMR vaccine is safe. And not only do we have 4 hours of a recorded confession by the CDC whistleblower, Dr. William Thompson, he's provided us with 10,000 documents, including internal emails and the original study data that he claims they were asked to come into an office and throw it all in a garbage can so there would be no record of it ever existing. And luckily for the American people in the world, Dr. William Thompson kept copies of everything because he knew that was illegal. And so now, 10 years later, he's come forward. He's protected by whistleblower status. He's still working at the CDC. He's one of their most important scientists. He's been awarded throughout his esteemed career. And not a single news station and not a single newspaper seems to think that this is a story, that this is important for the American public to know. And everybody in the medical profession is saying that our film is a lie. And I'd like to know what about it is a lie. We have a very real scientist. We have a very real whistleblower. We have all of the documents. And we have about 10 major medical professionals that all back up everything in our film, including the Nobel laureate who won the Nobel Prize for discovering AIDS. So, you know, it's there's no, you know, it's we've been censored. We've been kicked out of Tribeca Film Festival. We've been kicked out of theaters. We just got kicked out of a theater in Boise, Idaho last week that was going to run the film, and then under pressure from the medical establishment, decided to not run the film. So we've never, censorship is alive and well. I mean, all of these things are such terrifying statements in a country that I thought was free, you know? So that's what the story is. I mean, that's what we're dealing with. That's what our film's about. And it's an amazing movie. I'm extremely proud of it. And I can tell you every night, four or five doctors come up to me saying, you know, I came to this film kicking and screaming. I expected to be able to say you were a liar. And the movie just changed my mind and made me realize I have a lot of work to do. I didn't realize we'd been lied to like this. And to date, in the 65 cities that we've appeared in and done Q&As after, I have not had a single doctor say the opposite. I've never had a doctor see the film and walk up to me and say, that film's a lie. Because you can't. And that's why they're censoring us. It's dangerous to the pharmaceutical industry that wants everyone to believe that we cannot live without them and that they have our best interests in mind, when clearly their interest is making trillions of dollars off of us.
Well, you know, the documentary came to Tulsa, Oklahoma, where I live. I don't know how many people saw it. I saw it on a Sunday morning, so it wasn't very full. But everyone who was in that theater, when it ended, and everyone kind of walked out, and it was like this stunned silence. And I was somewhat familiar, obviously, with what the documentary was presenting. But even then, I just felt so shocked and speechless. You know, there's an just overwhelming sense how much we have been betrayed by the government, by the pharmaceutical industries, you know, by the AMA, and who are the victims here? There are children, the most vulnerable part of this population. So, Dale, for people who have not yet had the opportunity to see the movie, and let me just ask at this point, are you going to be releasing it on the internet soon? Are people going to be able to see it that way?
Well, right now we're using a system called Gather. We had a full theatrical release, so we ran all over the country and managed to get to about 65 cities, as I said. Now we're using Gather, G-A-T-H-R, and people can go to gather.com and see where the film is playing near them. We're going to be in about 500 cities over the most of August and into September, so people can see it in theaters through Gather. And then, yes, we plan on having live streaming available to film, I believe, the beginning to mid August. So if people just go to our website, vaxxed.com, that's V-A-X-X-E-D, or vaxxedthemovie.com, either one gets you there. You can see everything that's happening and pay attention. If you sign our newsletter, we'll let you know as soon as that is available. So, yeah, it's coming out, streaming, DVD, all of that's going to be coming out over the next several weeks.
Okay, so everyone really must get a copy of this. You know, if you know, people listening have their beliefs about vaccinations, and I think we need to say, Dale, this is not about whether you should or should not vaccinate your child. This is not at all the purpose of this documentary. And I think it really needs to be stated, because people think that this is really its purpose, is trying to convince people that vaccinations are bad. That's not the mission of this documentary, as I understand it. The mission of the documentary is to provide irrefutable evidence that the basis upon which these vaccines have been released into the community and in many places have been mandated is based on false research, unproven research, research that actually has demonstrated there is harm from the use of the vaccine on the schedule that is recommended for the children. So for people who haven't seen it, you know, what are the most important points that you feel you want people to hear, whether they see the documentary or don't? Now we have a chance to talk to you, who has been so instrumental in making this documentary happen. What do people need to know? I know you talked a little bit about it in our introduction, but let's go over and highlight some of those key things.
Well, I mean, what you're saying is true. I mean, there's been, when they kicked us out of the Tribeca Film Festival, there almost every major newspaper in the country wrote an article telling people, basically writing a false review of a film that we had not let any of them see. So they said they knew what the film was about and lied about it. And the headline tends to be the anti-vaccination movie, which it is not. In fact, to prove it's not, I spoke to Senator Ben Allen in California, who co-wrote the SB 277 bill, which takes away all of our ability to opt out of vaccines. Both personal and religious beliefs have been wiped out in California, so we have no control over our babies anymore. The government's going to decide when and how to inject the child if we want them to be in school. But my point being, Ben Allen watched the film, and in a public forum, I raised my hand to ask a question, and he said publicly, "Dell, I was surprised to find that Vax is not an anti-vaccination movie. It really was focused on the MMR vaccine, the issues around the testing of the MMR vaccine, and also that we'd really like to see the MMR broken up back into the single measles, single rubella, single mumps vaccines that we used to use prior to really the 70s and 80s, because there was just not the reports of autism that from the single vaccines. We never really heard of it until the MMR came along. But the focus of the film is like anything else. I mean, you hear about four brake pedals getting stuck on a Toyota across the country, and we recall millions of Toyotas. Or just a month or two ago, somebody found a piece of plastic inside of a Snickers bar, and they recalled hundreds of millions of Snickers bars from all around the world. We have a situation where we have hundreds of thousands of parents across the world all telling the same story. My child got a vaccination. Usually, many times it's the MMR vaccine, which is what our film focuses on. And then that night had a fever, had seizures. Many times the people will take their child to the doctor, and the doctor says, "Don't worry about it. This is just a natural reaction to the MMR vaccine. They'll be fine." Well, once the seizures end and once they come out of this long sleepiness they've had for a week, they are never the same again. They lose the ability to walk. They lose the ability to talk. And then they have a stunted growth from then on. Many of them, as adults at 19, 20 years old, you're lucky if they can speak at all. Many are just laid up in a bed, unable to communicate. Others, you know, get to maybe a third or fourth grade sort of mentality. So we're talking about the destruction of perfectly healthy kids. And then science and the medical community tells us the vaccine didn't do it. We hear that over and over again, and we all repeat it. Working on the doctor's television show, our constant theme was that vaccines are safe and effective. And then you look at this story by Dr. William Thompson, his confession coming out of the CDC. He shows us exactly how they manipulated the most important study we ever did looking at the vaccines and autism. And the reason I say it's the most important is this MMR study, this was the last study ever paid for by the United States government. This is the last time we ever had our scientific bodies look into, is there a connection between vaccines and autism? And that was in 2000, this study started. So we are now 16 years without investigating whether the vaccines cause autism, because we've been told, it's been proven they're safe. And now we know through Dr. William Thompson and the 10,000 documents you can see in our film Vax that that is a categorical lie. So what do we do about it? Where does that leave us? You know, I want people who believe in vaccines to be told the truth. I want them to have safe and effective vaccines. I mean, that's important. I'm not trying to tell the world not to vaccinate. Everybody has a choice in what they want to believe, how they want to raise themselves, how they want to feed themselves, what water they want to drink. Do they want fluoride? I mean, do we want GMOs? Do they want organic food? Would they rather use vitamins than penicillin? Would they rather? I mean, all of these choices are ours to make. But for those people that want to believe in medicine, they are under the impression that that medicine has been tested and is safe for them and their children. And so for me, discovering that that is actually not true, that nobody is testing really the safety of vaccines as thoroughly as they should be. And now we know that when they found danger in a specific vaccine, our own government agency, the most powerful and important health agency in the world, the Centers for Disease Control, colluded with Merck, the pharmaceutical industry that makes this vaccine, and covered up the fact that it was defective. So what I want to say to people is, first of all, we have got to start listening to our own intuition. I can't tell you how many parents come up to me every night this film screens. At least 100 parents stand up in the theater when I say, please stand up if you have a vaccine-injured family member. Usually one-third to half the audience stands up. It leaves everybody else in shock. I will never get used to it. Making this movie, I never could imagine the sea, the ocean of people I was going to meet that have all been through this experience. But we, our children are suffering, and it's all being built on a lie. So if you believe in vaccine, then know that I am fighting to get a truly independent testing body. That's what we're demanding from this film. We want vaccine testing taken out of the CDC, because they've proved to be liars, and they have failed not only the American public, but the world. We need a truly independent testing body that is firewalled against the pharmaceutical industry. And what I mean by that is there's not a revolving door of scientists coming from the pharmaceutical industry into the health agency that's supposed to be doing testing, and then leaving and going back to a cushy job in the pharmaceutical industry, which is exactly what we have happening. If you look at this study at the CDC, the MMR study that's the focus of our film, Dr. Julie Gerberding is the head of the CDC while this study is going on. So Merck has made the MMR vaccine. We have hundreds of thousands of parents saying that it's causing their child's autism. They are studying it. And you have William Thompson, if you see the emails in the film, reaching out to everybody, all the five scientists he's working with, and then his superior saying, we're covering up data. I don't believe we should do this. I want to tell the truth. We have to tell the truth. The people need to know. We need to do more studies. We have anomalies here. We have a problem. And he writes emails all the way to the head of the CDC, Dr. Julie Gerberding. And instead of listening to him and saying, you know what, let's investigate this further. Let's really look at this data. Let's let other scientists see this data. Let's open this up. And instead, they closed it down and they hid the information from the people. And then what happens? Right after Julie Gerberding gets done working at the CDC, where does she go? She gets a multi-million-dollar contract as head of Merck's vaccine department. I mean, if we can't protect ourselves from that type of, you know, revolving door and collusion, then I don't know what we're going to do. I mean, we have the sickest generation of children we have ever had in this country. That is a medical fact. More diabetes. We have more babies die on the first day of life in the United States of America than all of the other industrialized nations combined. And I ask anyone that says they believe in their doctors and believe in vaccines to explain why that would be. We also have more babies die in the first year of life than any other industrialized nation. How is that? We have the best medical system in the world, don't we? Don't we have the best doctors and the best hospitals? Why can't we keep our babies alive? And then you look at the fact that we're one of the only countries that gives a day one old baby a Hep B vaccine, a hepatitis B vaccine, a sexually transmitted disease that that baby will not come in contact with until they're sexually active or sharing needles. So a totally unnecessary vaccine filled with five times the amount of aluminum ever approved to be in a body, which we know is a neurotoxin that can create brain swelling and all sorts of other problems. And then we look at, wow, we have the highest day one death rate. Well, and then the medical community says, well, it's just coincidence that the vaccine's not doing it. It's just a coincidence they died that day. I mean, people have to wake up. How long are you going to listen to that excuse? How long are you going to trust the CDC that keeps telling you they don't know what's causing autism? But we know that vaccines do not. That's the official line. I've heard Sanjay Gupta say it on CNN. We do not know what's causing autism, but we know that vaccines are not. I'd like to see exactly how that mathematical equation works. How do you not know basically what something is, but you know what's not causing it? I don't even see how you can do that.
So it goes on and on. So let's just, we need to take a break, but when I come back, I want to just talk a little bit about the CDC. And for people who think that the CDC is a government institution, stay tuned because you are about to be shocked. So we have some important information for everyone to hear. We're going to take a quick break. This is Dr. Cheryl Selman. You're listening to What Women Must Know with my guest today, Dale Bigtree, who is the producer of the very important documentary called Vaxxed. Stay tuned. We'll be right back.
This is the number one radio station for progressive independent thinkers, the Progressive Radio Network.
Did you know Gaia has aligned with the galactic center? Our energies are rising from 3 to 5D, a transformation that integrates a new heart awareness and embodied ascension. I'm Catherine Davis. Please join me on Heart of Mind Radio for the New Millennium for conversations, insights, healing, and spirituality with love, peace, and compassion on Friday mornings, 10 a.m. Eastern Standard Time, and anytime. Listen or download on the PRN.FM archives.
It's the BRONX. You know what's next.
It's a bowl of soul. And get your dose of classic soul and independent R&B music from the United States and abroad on Friday at 6 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. A Bowl of Soul is a music experience you won't forget or regret. Check out A Bowl of Soul on the Progressive Radio Network.
PRN, the Progressive Radio Network, your home for progressive thinkers.
Hi, everyone. Welcome back. This is Dr. Cheryl Selman. You're listening to What Women Must Know, and today we're talking with Dale Bigtree, who's the producer of a profoundly important documentary called Vax. Dale, let's talk a little bit about the CDC, the Center for Disease Control. It has a URL called cdc.gov, but what can you tell us about the CDC?
Well, I mean, the CDC, what I can say is that the CDC was ultimately designed to promote, you know, health across the country, and specifically vaccines. I mean, they buy billions of dollars of vaccines every year and then distribute them. They're a vaccine distribution arm, which ultimately becomes problematic when you think that their job is to promote vaccines and give them out all over our country. And then when we give them the job to test whether the vaccines are safe, you can imagine we have a real conflict of interest there. If you look at the, you know, I mean, I think from my, you know, from my perspective, there's a good chance that maybe this didn't come from a dark place, but, you know, you have scientists whose job is to promote vaccines, and then they discover that one of the vaccines is causing autism. Well, if they come out publicly and state that, then there's going to be a fear of vaccines, and they're going to lose the uptake of vaccines they have and therefore go against their primary objective, which is to promote the use of vaccines throughout the country. I heard it best said by a congressman down in Florida, Dr. Dave Weldon. He said, you know, in Florida, we say we're the launch state because we launched the space shuttle. He says, when I look at the CDC's conflict of interest, it's very much what we say about the space shuttle. You can't have the same person that's job is to launch the space shuttle, push the button, and make sure it launches on time, be the same guy that's in charge of checking the safety of the shuttle if it's ready to launch. And that's exactly what we have. We have two totally opposing jobs being done by the CDC at the same time. One of them is going to suffer. One of them is going to have to, you know, sort of bow down to the other. And clearly vaccine safety is taking a secondary seat to vaccine promotion. And that's why we are saying we need to get vaccine testing away from the CDC, away from, that department and move it into its own place. What I know about the CDC.
Let me ask you this question. There's information out there. I don't know how true it is, so I was wondering if you might know whether the CDC let's just say there's information that I've come across. I haven't researched it. That actually has the CDC listed as a private for-profit corporation listed in the official Dun & Bradstreet directory.
You know, I've heard that statement, and I haven't had the, you know, I haven't had time to fully investigate that, but I'm not sure, you know, most of my investigation says that that's not true. I'm not saying it's not. Just where I found is because it is a .gov, I think most of the people I talked to said that what they're really seeing is that the CDC puts up charity groups that people can donate to that end up really being profitable, and that can manipulate and be used as tax and government in employing in all sorts of places that maybe would really be, you know, more of a private function. But the direct proof that the CDC is a private corporation, I haven't found that yet, but I haven't really looked that deep in as you. I have heard that. Right now I'm going to, you know, I know that Obama refers to the CDC as a government agency, and I know that one of the issues we have with Dr. William Thompson is that, unlike other whistleblowers, his lawyer has silenced him because he said because he's a government employee and not a private industry employee, he cannot speak to the press. He can't speak to the news because what he has to say is classified information. Therefore, the only way we're going to get to the bottom of what the whistleblower has said, Dr. William Thompson, is to subpoena him in front of the Congress. And that's what we've been trying to get to happen. It's been almost 2 years now that William Thompson has been waiting to be subpoenaed by the Oversight Committee on Government Reform. I've had the opportunity to meet with Congressman Jason Chaffetz, who's the head of that committee, and we had a very good meeting, and I'm hoping that that's going to move it forward, and there is an investigation now going on. So anyone that says that this story is a lie, I can tell you that's not true. There's a formal investigation taking place by the Congress into this. Will they ultimately call William Thompson to the floor and and subpoena him and have him speak under oath along with all of the other scientists involved in what I think is the worst scientific fraud in the history of man. I hope so. But apparently he can't speak out. We weren't able to get him to speak beyond what was already recorded in phone calls that you'll see in our film, but he hasn't spoken to anyone because he's a government employee. So that's all I really know.
All right. The reason why I ask that, because it's an interesting question. I mean, the Federal Reserve, which we know is a private banking institution, also is a .gov on our URL. So just an FYI, you know.
Yeah, and look, in the end, is it just semantical? I mean, if these government agencies are going to do the bidding of the for-profit pharmaceutical industry anyway, what difference does it make really what we're calling it? Clearly, we've lost the government that's for the people and by the people, or we're right on the verge of it. I mean, one of the things that I'm telling people is this next election is crucial. If we allow a president to be put in place that's totally being funded by corporations and specifically the pharmaceutical industry, then I think we've given up everything our founding fathers fought for. I mean, this really is the original definition of fascism. I mean, it's corporatized government. We've lost the line between government and corporations. And so, in some ways, maybe we prove that they're a private industry, but what we know is the CDC is acting as if it's a private corporation, and it's acting in the interests of multi-billion, trillion-dollar corporations and not in the interest of the people, which my definition of government agency is one that is for the people and controlled by the voting public, and that is clearly not who the CDC is working for any longer.
You know, I think it may be hard for people who haven't investigated what's really going on to believe that the collusion between the pharmaceutical company and the government and bodies like the CDC are really designed primarily for profit and not for the well-being of its citizens. But anyone who really spends a little time, you begin to understand what's going on under the surface, which is why I believe your documentary is so important. It's helping people to wake up that we are truly being lied to. We are truly being lied to. And that may be a hard pill for a lot of people to swallow, but, we have to get a grip on reality here of what's really happening, because our children's health and well-being is at stake. You know, the statistics for autism, and, I know many parents who are dealing with autistic children. We see how devastating it is for parents, for our society. I mean, the statistics of the percentage of children that will be diagnosed with autism within, 20, 30 years is 1 out of 2? Is that correct?
Correct. But I mean, we graphed out the current rise of autism, which has gone from roughly 1 in 10,000 in the 1970s, 80s, to now where the CDC admits we're at 1 in 68 children are being diagnosed with autism. But that study is actually 5 years old now. And a poll done last year found that 1 in 45 children in America is now on the autism spectrum. Stephanie Seneff, an MIT scientist, graphed all of that out and said, well, let's look into the future. At the current rate of increase, which is exponential, by the way, and has been since the late 80s, just on this skyrocketing curve, if something does not stop the current rate of increase, we will be at 1 in 2 children being diagnosed with autism. 1 in 2 children born in 2032. Will be diagnosed with autism. And because it's more prevalent in boys than girls, that statistic goes further to say 80% of the boys born in 2032 will be on the autism spectrum. That's the end of a civilization. That's the end of a standing army. That's the end of American exceptionalism. We're right in the middle of it. And then when you realize it's a man-made epidemic, It's the worst epidemic of our lifetime, and it's man-made. It is a bitter pill to swallow, and I get it. I didn't want to believe it, and as I researched it, I dropped everything. I left my career, as you said, at the very top, because this is the most important story of our lifetime. I don't know how we got here. I don't know how Nazi Germany happens. Is it a slow burn? Do we just slowly let the water rise in its temperature like frogs until it just boils us? I don't know. All I know is this is where we're at. We now have a pharmaceutical industry that is totally co-opting our government. It's co-opted our universities. And so now, you know, and continuing to push more and more vaccines. There's 270 vaccines now in the pipeline no one's ever heard of. And you have to know that they are writing laws right now across this nation to mandate vaccines without any ability to opt out, not just for children, but for adults. ExxonMobil, none of these companies ever dreamed of the kind of money that the pharmaceutical industry is looking at making when 320 million people in this country have to use their products, whether they get injured by them or not. You know what type of money that's going to be? It's like if you look at Gardasil, the HPV vaccine, it's being outlawed throughout the rest of the world because it's killed and injured so many children. But here we're mandating it. If we mandate Gardasil alone to the body of people they want, which is the CDC website says 9 to 26-year-old boys and girls, imagine the CDC gets its way and says, we're mandating this vaccine for all 9 to 26-year-olds. Merck, would make $30 billion in 1 year if that happened.
I just did a show on the whole Gardasil debacle, actually, and trying to warn parents that this is a lie. Although I have to say, even thinking journalists have been duped. And I can't believe people haven't bothered to just look a little deeper, especially when you're in the media. But even the media personalities that we think are really honest and thoughtful and have integrity have been duped, because I hear them promote Gardasil and all the vaccines on their shows, which is just so devastating. So the question I have is this. What do parents do? What do we do? If a state is mandating, and this is starting to take off around the country, other states like California, which has mandated, I even looked at the school requirements. They're talking about get your children vaccinated when the school season starts here, and I go, really? And then I realized that Oklahoma has mandated the MMR and HIP and a few others before children can go to school. What do parents do, Dale? Do they just have to homeschool? And if they homeschool, at what point are their children going to be, eliminated from entering universities and professions? What are you recommending to parents?
Well, I mean, that's a hard thing to answer because, again, I can't tell parents how to raise their kids or what is the best thing for them to do. I can only ask the appropriate. My job as a journalist is to ask the appropriate questions, and that's what we're doing with this film. I have two kids. I have a 2-year-old and a 7-year-old, and I live in California that just took away our right for a personal belief exemption or a religious exemption. Currently, my kids are hanging in the balance inside of a grandfather clause, so I have a year or two supposedly to make this choice before I have to decide whether I pump them full of the 49 or 72 vaccines, depending on how old they are. 72 vaccines, I think, by seventh grade will be for my older child in order to go to school. And what I find so ironic about that is in order to educate my child's brain, I have to risk encephalitis that will ruin his neurological development forever. That's the choice that we're being given in California. And I can say that now as a journalist and a medical journalist that's investigated this, I know for a fact that these vaccines can cause irreparable brain damage. And yet by knowing that and having done my own research and studied the documents provided by the CDC whistleblower, one of the top CDC scientists there. I'm not allowed to make a choice from that educated point of view to not give these vaccines to my child. So what I would say to parents is, number one, there's very few states that have that strong legislation. I think it's California now. You'll have to look it up, but there's only three or four states that have mandated that type of with no exemptions. I believe in Oklahoma, you still have at least a religious exemption and maybe a personal belief exemption. So even though there's mandates, every state has an ability to exempt out based on your belief system. So you can't believe them when they tell you. The first thing I would say is if you're told your child can't go into school without getting these vaccines, then you should really look up your laws in that state, because most of the time that's not true. Most of the time, in about 43 states right now, you still have an exemption to not give your child that vaccine, and you can take that school to court if they did try to force that upon you. But beyond that, you have got to start joining your state groups. You know, down in Texas, it's Texans for Vaccine Choice, and these groups are developing all over in every single state, and it's usually 7 to 10 very concerned people that work their butts off every time. They are diligent. They see new language coming into a law being hidden in some pork-filled bill that's going to take away rights or take away exemptions, and they are there fighting for you. Please join those groups and show up in numbers, because every single voting cycle now, the pharmaceutical industry is writing legislation that is going to mandate their products for you and your children without a choice. So you've got to nip those in the bud, and you've got to help these social action groups that are involved in it. I think that is key. And then you've got to visit your congressmen. You've got to visit your senators and tell them you believe in freedom. You believe in liberty. You believe that the human body is your sovereignty. That is your right to do with it as you see fit, not the government. The government does not own our bodies. That is not why we left England to come to America and establish a new country, was to put that country and that government in charge of our bodies and our souls. That's not the country as it was designed. So we have to fight for our freedom right now through political means. And that's what I would say. But if you do live in a state where your child cannot be educated without getting vaccinated, then all I can say is please see my movie and realize the depth of the lie that's taking place. And then if you don't want to do that, and you're like, well, he's crazy, then I just ask you to do this. I want you to ask your pediatrician or your doctor the next time they want to give your child a vaccine. You say, I want to see the vaccine insert. I want the insert that was wrapped around the bottle when it was shipped in the box, not that Xerox piece of paper written by Merck's ad department. I want the official legal document that was wrapped around the vaccine. And then read the ingredients in it. Read that it actually has fetal tissue cells from aborted babies, that it has formaldehyde, MSG, all things we know create lesions on the brain, aluminum, which we know is a neurotoxin. In some of the flu shots, you've got thimerosal, which is mercury, the second most toxic substance on the planet Earth. And then look at the side effects, and you'll see seizures, loss of the ability to walk and talk. Sometimes you'll see death, autism. And then decide if it's worth the risk. Then you have to say, okay, so these are the very real side effects that our own study showed. So I don't know why they're telling me vaccines are safe when wrapped around the bottle it clearly says that they're not. And then ask yourself, what is the risk if my child doesn't get this vaccine? Did you know that measles, by the 1960s, the death rate of measles had dropped down to 0.03 out of 100,000 children. 0.03, 100,000 people. That is not a deadly disease. Yet we've allowed them to rewrite our history and use this mantra in our news. You can't trust any TV doctor that told you that measles is deadly, because the actual fact is it was not deadly upon the arrival of the vaccine to begin with. So am I willing to risk
a 1 in 45 chance of my child being autistic for life to keep them from getting an illness that's going to make them uncomfortable for about a week or two? That, right. Those are the questions. Those are the questions sensible people have to ask right. themselves. Is it worth risking death in my day one old baby? Is it worth risking death from the vaccine or take my chances that my day one old baby is not going to be sexually active or sharing needles in the near future? You know, I mean, it really, I know I'm being sarcastic, but that's literally
right.
what we're
how,
talking
that's how
about.
Absurd. Yeah, that's how absurd it is when people understand what they're, what, why they are being prescribed, at least for those newborns, the Hep B vaccine. How absurd. How absurd. And I
yeah.
think we just have to emphasize a newborn has no real immune system yet. They are vulnerable.
True.
They do not have an immune system to protect them from all those adjuvants that you mentioned in vaccines. That's why they die, because they're poisoned. Their system is poisoned.
They
cannot function with their, because they're so vulnerable, you know. So,
yeah.
Del, you know, we come to the end of the show. I just, you know, personally want to express my gratitude to you for taking on this cause, for doing it so well, for creating such a professional and convincing documentary designed to provide the truth to people. And I just really want everyone listening to go see the movie, go download it, go to Gather, which is GATHR.com, which will let you know where it will be more readily available. Get educated, everyone. And Del, you know, just wishing you just all the best on this mission you're on. Thank you so much for joining us today.
Thank you so much for having me. All right,
you're
you have a
so
wonderful
welcome.
Day.
Thank you. And for all of my guests, watch the movie Vax. Go to the website vaxthemovie.com. This is Dr. Cheryl Selman. And remember, always honor the wisdom of your feminine self. Trust that. Talk to you soon. Bye for now.